Thank you very much for a very interesting presentation. The answer to my question may have to do with the pre-flood world, because that's the only passages I can think of here. But I read a lot of scholarly sources, even conservative sources, that say the ancient Hebrews believed that the sky was a solid table, and that terms like the firmament, the windows of heaven, and the fountains of the deep reflect this ancient and faulty view of the world. And wondered what you could say about that.
Yeah, Ken Hovind, Henry Morris, and others have proposed, obviously, some kind of canopy theory with relationship to some higher fluid. Of course, when it talks about there, the separation of the firmament, separating the two waters, one above and one below. There's some interesting things that come out in there that really aren't going to warrant enough time to talk about here today. But the things you just mentioned, though, the idea of things that shake, things that can tremble, those obviously identify with something that has some kind of substance to it, not just a vapor, right? So it's got to be something that's a little more transmissive as far as energy or things of that nature. So there is some things about it that's interesting. The problem is we don't have enough information really to understand it. A lot of things get applied from that all the way down to why people live so long and all of that. There's no scientific reasoning behind that. It's just pure speculation, and that's something we've got to be careful of. But it is intriguing that there's not a lot spent on that, because it really doesn't matter before the flood, because after the flood's what we're interested in, because that's what's affecting us today. And I think that's the part you've got to stay with as far as bringing the focus and not get wrapped up in these other intelligent design kind of debates. I do want to back up just real quick to the cavernous part. The question here is, and there's a slide for you, here's some beautiful caverns. These are all over the ancient world, including even in the Bible land. And the problem here is that not one cavern or subterranean reservoir is ever noted in the scriptures. Caves are mentioned, but it's typically that were places where men inhabit or use for storage or even try to sequester their enemy. But the bottom line is they never get wrapped up into subterranean water flows or water bodies. None of that ever comes out in that. And so I think it's important to note that when you had the ancients sitting here building all of their models around this, the Bible never opened that opportunity up. That was complete speculation and imagination on the part of man. And I think that's something you need to remember in all of these talks.
Brent, I enjoyed that. It's very informative. This year, there were several articles that appeared about underground water that was considerably lower than the water that you've been talking about. Does any of that relate to anything in the Bible, or, you know, they're saying there's a, is it ringwoodite?
There's some various conversations about, like, ancestral ocean water and things of that nature.
It's like 400 miles below the surface of the earth.
That one is purely speculative. That's based on some seismic work that's taken place, and, of course, they're looking at seismic and trying to interpret some kind of void that they see down there. The question is, until you tap 400 miles, you don't know what's actually in the void. They've missed that a number of times. In fact, that's why oil and gas is still pretty hard to find, because it's not always an accurate science. So that's speculative. But the idea, too, that people introduce that that there's archaic or ancient water left over from the fountains bursting forth in the Old Testament really doesn't build a really strong case there, because we find water all the time that's residual, that's in the earth. Now, it does say that there had to be water somehow sourced in the process, but the problem is the chemistry changes over time. It doesn't look anything like the ocean. So to try to make those kinds of arguments and say, well, just because I have water down there at, you know, 5 miles, and I've seen water at 5 miles through the drill pipe, that water is so different because it has now been interacting with the mineralogy at that depth, as well as radionucleotides and a lot of things like that. So that water changes dramatically. Doesn't look anything like the ocean. Even though it is highly saline, it is far more saline by 5 to 6 times than that of the ocean. It's a lot different. So those are kind of things that people like to throw out there and say, oh, we found something. But, you know, that knowledge is pretty well known, and it's a weak argument in the science world.
Brent, I wish I could take your lesson to the science classroom and use it for
I got a junk drive here for you.
Okay, good deal. I'm not sure that my superiors would allow me to do that. But I know when I was teaching middle school youngsters, one of the things that I liked for them to do was to go into the laboratory and to actually determine the density of water. 1 gram per milliliter, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so that's a nice number to remember. And then we're talking about a substance that makes up the majority of the elements of this earth. And then I would tell them that anything that you put in water and it's going to float, it's going to have a density of less than one. Anything that's greater than that's going to the bottom. So water can be used here as a measure of the density of substances in a generality here. Mm-hmm. Now when you think about the human body, here we are, the majority of our body is made up of water. And to me, when you think about that, and if you get in water and you just don't move your legs or arms, you're going to float there. I mean, don't depend on that to save you, though, if you get out of the water from drowning. But to me, that really increases my belief in God, that He has created us in some way and given us something, as you've explained here, and put it into our body, that we constantly have to have this into our body in order to maintain the physical life that we have. So I just wanted to make those comments.
Yeah, and many things in the Bible surround water too. You know, there's certain miracles and things. Obviously, Jesus' first miracle surrounded the idea of water, and our salvation surrounds the idea of water. So water has a huge life connection in the Scriptures, for sure.